I am chosen. Hallelujah, Father. We worship you, Lord. We praise your holy name this morning, God. We glorify you this morning, Lord, because you and you alone are worthy of all glory, of all honor, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for everything you've done in our lives, God, for your promises, Lord, for remaining true to who you said you are, God, for never changing, God, for your love being more than enough for each and every person in this room, God. God, let your Holy Spirit begin to sweep through this place right now, God. Begin to heal, begin to do the work that only you can do, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you this morning, Lord. At this time, we want to open the altars. If there's a need, if there's anything this morning that you need to lay at the feet of Jesus, he's here, he is waiting. And we have people who are willing to pray with you this morning. And so we just want to let you guys know that we're here for you and that God's here to listen. Amen. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. And I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise.
Living God this morning, amen. I've seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you.
You're never gonna let me down. so good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh,
sing that again. Sing, you are good. You're good.
So good to us. You have given us the perfect gift, and that is Jesus Christ. And as we pray this morning, Father, we ask that, Father, that you help those who do not know you, Father, to find the true meaning of Christmas so they can have a Savior in their hearts, Jesus. And Father, we pray that you use us, our church, your church, Jesus, Father, to spread that love, Father. The love that you have for us by giving your only Son, Jesus, to us. Oh, Father, thank you for everything you've done in our lives, Father. Let's not forget all the blessings that we have received from you, Jesus. Father, we pray, Father, for our families. We pray for our church. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for those that are struggling today. Let them find that peace that they do not know that is there in you, Father. Father, we pray with all our hearts, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You may have a seat. Welcome. Good morning. This is my favorite time of the year. I guess there's a lot of favorite times for everyone here. You know, it was a few years ago, many years ago, I will say. You know, Christmas to me was it was a good time. I like the music. I like the gathering and stuff like that. But, you know, God put a godly woman in my heart. And that's when I started realizing what the true meaning of Christmas is. And I rejoice because I know the Lord. I know Jesus Christ. And he has a place for us in heaven. Amen. Sorry about that. Just wanted to share that with you all. Anyway, if you're here with us for the first time, we'd love to have you here. We're glad that you're here with us. And there's a card in front of you that says we would like to connect with you. If you would put your names and numbers or emails, and we'll be following up with you. We are so glad that you're here with us. I'm going to go very quick through some announcements. Don't forget that on the 16th, which is next Sunday, we have the Christmas extravaganza. We're going to have a music program. And the kids are going to get involved with that also. So it's going to be a special Sunday. And if you have some friends and families, you might want to invite them also so they can be exposed to the Word of God. And this is a great time. And as part of that, we have a choir rehearsal next Thursday on the 13th, I believe. The details are on the bulletin there. Make sure if you're part of that program to come here. I think this is the second or the last rehearsal. And also the kids are going to be practicing today at 12, right after the service. They're going to be gathering in the youth room, and they're going to practice from 12 to 4. So if you're a parent, they're going to be fed. Only the kids that are practicing are going to be fed, nobody else. So make sure you drop them off, and then you can have dinner without your kids, okay? It's going to be great. They're going to have a fun time today, and I can't wait for next Sunday to hear them sing here in the platform. Also, we are continuing to have the toy drive. The Saturday, the 15th, is the last day for you to drop off your gift. If you want to do that, you can come at any time during the week, and you can just drop it off in the box out there. And I think that's all I have today. We're going to have a service, a combined service, maybe two services, I think, on Sunday, the 23rd. And Pastor is going to give you more details about the plan for that week. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Pastor to come and share some words with you.
Good morning. Welcome to Life Point Church today. First of all, let me just say thank you for those of you that are bringing toys and putting it together. What's happened is our outreach ministry and people are taking flyers out, and we're inviting basically the community. We've targeted a couple of communities, really, but that are going to come next Sunday. And with the toys, what we're telling the people, if they bring their kids to kids' church, they get a free present for Christmas, and just kind of a fun way to get kids in the door, get people in to hear the message of Christmas, amen? Whatever we got to do to drag them in here is what we're going to do, just so you know. But we're looking forward to that. Thank you for supporting that stuff. And everything has a purpose behind it, trust me. And the purpose is to tell people about Jesus, make disciples of all nations, amen? So thank you. I'm going to invite the ushers to come down. And I want to tell you, I want to, again, thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. It's over 7 months that my wife and I have been here now. Time flies. And, you know, in reality, we're still a church that's in the middle of transition, believe it or not. I mean, it didn't just change the first week. It takes a little time, and we're still working in some areas. We're still working on some things that aren't 100% where we want them right now. But I just want to thank you for your continued support and sticking with us and getting this body where God wants it to be. Amen. And it's going to be good. So thank you very much. I'll pray over the offering. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to be here to continue to worship you this morning, Lord. And we will testify of the faithfulness of God. Lord, even as we give in these tithes and offerings, God, we know that you're faithful. You've proven yourself to us. Lord, bless this offering, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give. This morning, I'm going to invite Miss Patricia to come forward, to come on up here with me real fast to have a couple things that are going on. Joe, come on too. Y'all give him a Life Point welcome this morning. Come on now. This is like family right here. A few months back, we started talking about some things that are going to be changing here at Life Point, and I'm going to make you full aware of every change that takes place. That way you understand what's happening, and if you have any questions, you're free to come see me. But a couple of months ago, I was actually doing a message, I was preaching at the moment. I don't remember what it was all about. But Patricia sent me a text, and she was crying in the text, if you can believe. I could tell she was. But she was basically saying, what you're asking for this person to do, that's what I'm called to do. And it was basically talking about outreach and being out here and in the community overseeing that ministry. So we sat down and talked, and the problem was Patricia is a very capable leader, and she was overseeing the women's ministry. And I said, well, you can't do both, because, I mean, what God's going to do through this place is going to be, you're not going to be able to do all those jobs and be healthy and all that stuff. So anyway, long story short, Patricia has stepped up to the plate with Joe, her husband, of course, to oversee the outreach ministries of the church. So thank you. I'm going to let her explain to you exactly the vision for that. But I will tell you, just so you know, that through that transition, she has stepped aside from women's ministry. Pastor Sydney, my wife, is stepping into the women's ministry leadership now, and she will be for a little while until we really see where God's going to take that. And then in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to introduce you to a few other people that are doing some new jobs around here, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. Patricia?
God bless you, brothers and sisters, this morning. How about a little praise to the Lord? Huh? A little praise to the Lord. It's a pleasure to be here, and I thank the Lord that my husband is here too. Because believe it or not, I cannot do much without him. He's quiet, and he doesn't talk much, but the support that the Lord gives me through him is amazing. And that's the reason why, in the name of the Lord, I can accomplish some things for the glory of God. And that day that the pastor was preaching, actually, the text I sent me was like, I love outreach, I love missions, I love teaching, so whatever the Lord puts in your heart. But it is true that the Holy Spirit was touching me, like I couldn't stop crying. I was sitting there and I couldn't. It was like, I cannot explain what I felt, because I couldn't stop, and it was like, that's me. And I didn't say anything, but all of a sudden, my husband, sitting there next to me, gets close to my ear, and he says, I see you doing this. That's what he said. I see you doing this. And I looked at him with my teary eyes. I said, I know. But there is nothing that we can do by ourselves. There is nothing that we can do alone. And even though I do have him, neither him and I together cannot do anything without LifePoint Church. And in praying about this, I put it in writing this time because I will talk less if I read it. And he said, thank you. And the Lord put in my heart a vision and a mission and a goal for this ministry. And this ministry, we are praying to the Lord that really changes the community, the city, and much more. But first of all, that it changes LifePoint Church hearts. That's the first thing. We need to ignite us. We need to ignite LifePoint Church. We need to stir up. And a lot of people, many of you are already working. Okay, but we want to be contagious to the ones that still don't know where their spot to do something for the Lord is. So the vision for the LifePoint Church Outreach Ministry is to motivate, train, and empower ordinary people. How many here are ordinary people? I'm an ordinary person, very ordinary. To go out and do extraordinary things, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, in the name of Jesus, that all the people might see, hear, and experience God's love in tangible ways. How many of you can do that? I know you can. Okay? And we're going to try it. And we're going to move on. And we're going to step forward in the name of Jesus. And we're going to make it not just a matter of group, but even individual. We want to stir in your heart the passion and the love for the souls, the one that get close to you, your neighbor, your coworker, your families, your friends. That is part of what outreach is. It starts with us as an individual, okay? That passion. The mission is to reach those who are outside of the walls of the church with the message of the love and saving power of Jesus Christ. That's the mission. And we do this how? How do we do this? Well, we do this by ministering to all that we meet. We do this by community outreach events. We do this by witnessing witnesses teams when we get all together, and we're going to plan all that. Spreading the word of God via tracts, preparing and ministering in prayer, and more. And we will follow up with proper, this is very important, when people come in, we will follow up with proper ministering and discipleship to the newcomers for growth, and he's already starting that. Praise the Lord, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit to expand the body of Christ. So basically, the goal would be to reach out first the community, okay? Then expand outwards and proclaiming Jesus and letting them know that there is here a place of love, a place of hope, and a place of restoration in LifePoint Church. And as we win souls for the kingdom, we will provide the proper discipleship again and growth to empower them with the Holy Spirit. We already have our first meeting, but I want to encourage you and let you know that starting tomorrow, there will be a sign-up list out there. If you feel in your heart, or even if you don't feel it, that's okay. We will make sure that you will, in very short time, to work winning souls, making this place grow, not to grow just in quantity, but in the quality of the Holy Spirit, because we will be training, we will be teaching what is evangelism, what is outreach, what is to seek the soul, what is to love and passion for the souls. I invite you to write down your name. That way I know who we can count on it, because if you don't know where your spot and your place is in this place, we can help you find it, because there is a place for you in outreach ministry. And the glory is to God, and remember, we cannot do it alone. So let's get together as the body of Jesus Christ and start walking as a functioning body, Okay? God bless you all. And I ask for all of your prayers.
Thank you, Patricia and Joe. Thank you. So every week you'll see someone come, and you'll get to hear what God's doing. Next week we'll have someone different, another ministry. I will tell you, next week we're opening our sign-up sheets for our Sunday school classes that start in the first of the year. We're having a marriage Sunday school class, and we're having a foundation Sunday school class. Going to meet in the 9 o'clock hour. And the thing is, we're kind of limited in our room size here, so it's going to be first come, first serve. Unless we get a ton of people, then we'll do the classes in both hours to make sure we facilitate people. The foundations, I mean, marriage class, let me say this. It's not marriage counseling, okay? Don't be confused. It's not a place for you to come. And I understand, if you're married, this is what I say, you need help. And that's who needs help, are married people. And so as a body of believers with Christian, fundamentals backing us, we can get healthier marriages in the church. And it's okay. And so, you know, even, and let me say this, if you're single looking to be married, go to the marriage class, you know, it's okay. So, but if we stretch out and we have too many, we're going to make that class twice. The foundations class is not just for a new believer. It would be open for a new believer for sure. But maybe, man, you've been away from God, or you just feel like you just need to start over. The foundations class will help you get back to the core of the Christian faith and maybe, you know, shore up that area of your life. So those sign-up sheets will be out there next week. I think each class is going to facilitate 12 people right now. So that's 6 couples and then 12 people. So if you're interested, please get in. Amen. I'm ready to see some stuff happening. How about you? I'm excited for what God's doing. And I'm excited about this morning because I know that God has a word for you. And I know that God has a word for your life. We've been on the series of the Christmas miracle. And the Christmas miracle, if I ask the question, most of us would say the same thing. It's the birth of Jesus and, you know, the Holy Spirit conceived in this woman or this girl, young woman, and she gave birth. And that is a miracle, no doubt. But we've been walking through this story to understand all the moving parts that were in place. Because I'm telling you, and it's a lot like our life, you know, when we say miracle, everybody in here could announce to me the miracle that you think you need in your life. And for some of us, you've probably even been taught that God just does miracles every time you ask him. Like, you know, you have this app on your phone that every time you need a miracle, you just push the button and it just happens. Well, I haven't found that to be true. And even looking at this Christmas story, there are moving parts that if these people didn't follow in line, this miracle would have never taken place. And I'm going to say there's some things in our life and probably some areas of your life today that, yes, you do need God to show up, but you better make sure you're doing your part that God doesn't skip us, amen? I mean, think about it. God could have just had this baby appear. He did it with Adam and Eve, did he not? I mean, from the dirt he formed human. He could have done this with the baby, but no, he chose to use kind of what Patricia said, ordinary people, to bring about his miracle. And this morning, I think God has a word for you because I believe God wants to do something in your life, but you have to position yourself well to receive. The gospel accounts of the Christmas story, we looked in Luke for the past 2 weeks, actually. I talked about it, and then our guest last week talked about the same story. It was crazy. And this week, we're going to look in the other gospels because the Christmas story is really told way different every time. And at first, if you look in John's account, he doesn't even go to Bethlehem. He doesn't even talk about a baby. That's not how he explains it at all. He actually does nothing for the humanity of Jesus. He goes right into the deity of Christ, and that's all he throws out there, this heavenly view of Jesus, and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's how he illustrates Christ in really this deity form. And for some of us, I think that's the only view we have of Christ, is a form of deity. And I'm going to tell you, we know that God was fully man and he was fully God. And for some, sometimes that's hard to even really think through when you go through that stuff. But we'll look over a little bit further here, because one of the things that I think that can hinder us from moving into what God has for us is something called your past. How many of you have a past? How many of you have a train wreck behind you? How many of you have a train wreck in front of you? Let's ask that question. Don't raise your hand. That's another message. But, you know, and I'm going to tell you, there's a one of the things the enemy will mess with you is because he'll always want you to look back at some mistakes you've made. Not only mistakes you made, let me go a whole nother route. He will make you look at where you came from, you know? Some people are messed up in the head just from where they came from. Listen to this story here in verse 45. I'll start there. It says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, this is the Christmas story, if you will, told by John. He doesn't give us a lot of history of his birth, but he gives us history of when he was being known on the earth. Okay? Now listen to the next verse. So Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And I think about that statement right there, because that is one of the lies that the enemy will put in your head. Can anything good come from where you came from? Can anything good come from your home? Can anything good come from your current situation? Well, sometimes we go through some stuff in life, don't we? And we'll you never had this thought before? Man, it's never going to get any better. It's always going to be like this. And those are lies that the enemy tries to put into your head to make you think that God cannot show up in your life. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Well, I don't know about you, and I don't really know what neighborhood that would be said around here. Can anything good come from South Florida? Well, yes, we know that because you're here. Can anything good come from the country you came from? Can anything good come from Alabama? We're still waiting to see. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And that was a human look. That was the way that humanity thought. They thought, this town of Nazareth, there's never been anybody there that was of noble birth. There's no castle there. There's no king there. There's no lineage there to say that the Savior of the world could come from that place. Are you kidding me? Let me take you over to 1 Corinthians real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. We'll start there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 says this, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." Hold on, let me help you for just a moment. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from your house? Let me tell you, God chose the foolish things. God chose the things that were no good, that were abused, abandoned, that people had given up on, and God said, that's what I'm going to use. And you read on through this portion if you wanted to, and at the very end it says, the reason he did it was that in the end, no man could boast in his own flesh, but he who boasts must boast in the Lord. In other words, when you look at yourself in the mirror, and some of you hopefully don't do this, but you say, man, I got it all together finally. I'm doing real good. If you say that, come see me Monday because I'm going to help you. But maybe it would sound like this. Maybe it says, you know what? I know what my life used to be like, but thanks to the grace of God in my life, now I can pay my bills on time, or now I can get along with my family or get along with my spouse. You understand? It's because what God has done in your life. God chose the things that had no way of getting out, and he said, I'll make it happen. When Jesus came, he could have put that child in a palace. He could have put him anywhere, and he put him in a barn in a manger. Why? Because nobody would have ever suspected. Look where he came from. Could a king really be born in a barn? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Let me say it like this. Can anything good come out of our life now, knowing where we're at? Well, let me just help you this morning. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. One of the other tricks of the enemy is he wants you to be so focused on your current circumstances that you can't see past it. You can't see past the fact that you got these issues, and God says, hold on a minute, before you get fixed in this, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. But sometimes life comes at us like a load of bricks on top of us. Amen? And we're like, what is happening here? Why is it getting like this? Let me tell you, this is the same thing that Mary and Joseph went through before the greatest miracle in history ever took place. Let me ask you this. Who feels like they're due for a miracle? Well, you got to talk to God, not me, because I can't do it for you. But I hope you're right. And I believe in my heart that God is still a miracle-working God. But I believe if you and I will position ourselves with our attitude and our mentality, God will show up and show out for you in your life. So here he is. Does anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? John's account is very simple. He doesn't even really go into anything about the birth of Christ. So we're going to back up and go to Matthew this morning. I'm going to take you a couple of places because I want you to get this perspective. Now, we talked about for the past 2 weeks the visitation of the angel to Zechariah and to Mary. And we talked about how when the angel showed up, it demanded a response. In other words, God didn't just make them follow along with the plan. You remember what Mary said? What she said when the angel told her what was going to happen? She said, let it be according to your word. According to your word, let it happen. In other words, she said, I'll do whatever needs to be done. And let me tell you, that attitude right there from a believer will open the door for God to move in your life in a miraculous way. If you're going to say this, though, God, I love you, I'm with you, but hold on just a minute. Let's work this thing out before you do it. Let me give you my terms and conditions before you do it. Let me tell you something. You're setting yourself up to always be on the outside looking in. But when you can abandon yourself and say, Lord, according to your word, not my will, but your will be done. God knows he has someone he can work with. God knows he has someone he can work with. Now, I'm going to tell you Matthew's account, where we're going to be this morning. Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus is way different. I mean, they're all so different, these gospel writers. And Matthew's account would be the one that historically written would prove the humanity of Jesus Christ. His genealogy, he writes to the Jew and he says, just so you know, this whole list in chapter 1, the first 17 verses, this whole line of stuff, he said, just so you know, I'm going to give you the family tree of Jesus, so there's no doubt in a Jewish man or woman's mind that he could come through this bloodline to receive the King of the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? Now, how many of you have ever gone on something like Ancestry.com and wish you hadn't? Anybody ever done that? I've never even been on a thing. I don't even want to do it. But how many of you got like a family tree with a couple of broken branches, if you know what I'm saying? Like your family is messed up. Like you're not, but your family is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Your family's a little off? The problem with the humanity of Jesus is the family was a little off, if you read the story. And the reason why is because they were human. But we know that's where Jesus came, and there's a very detailed account of everybody that was involved, and there's all types of people in here. And I want to read to you one real fast in verse number 5. Verse number 5, it says, Simon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon by her who had been with the wife of Uriah. So you get this whole line of people. You get a whole line of people. And looking back, before Christ, looking back, you see some problems. You know, Rahab is in that list. What was Rahab? Somebody say it, it's okay. She's a prostitute. Now, if you had been writing the book, you wouldn't have put her in it. You'd have just been like, you know. Let me help the church this morning. You need to be very careful how you judge people on their behavior. You really do, because let me just help you, because you don't ever know what God's doing in someone's life. And years ago, the church had this movement, and it was probably in the Pentecostal holiness movement when the televisions came out and the records came out and we were burning all that stuff, and we'd have a fire after church and burn everything that was bad. And I get that, and I understand the movement behind that and the holiness thing behind that. But let me explain to you what the Scripture says. The Scripture says you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before God. Meaning this, if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, God's going to help you know what needs to exit your life. And I don't have to make a rules list for you to live by in order to obtain something. That's called the Old Testament, by the way. But I will say this, be very careful when you put your list on someone else. The reason I have a problem with that is just say this. Just say I, as the pastor of the church, made a list of rules for everybody sitting in here. And we do have some standards that I say, that's okay. The problem is, what happens if an unbeliever walks in? What happens if an unbeliever, what happens if someone's sitting here this morning who's been struggling with an issue for 3 to 5 years? Well, they feel like they can't make it because they can't scratch off everything on the list. You see the problem with that? Be careful how you look at people for their behavior. Christianity is not just behavior modification. It is a relationship with a personal Savior named Jesus. And as you develop that, and as people develop that, it will change your life. There's no doubt about it. You cannot change behavior without Jesus. Amen? That's why my kids act like they do. I don't think they know Jesus yet. Anyway, let's keep going here before I was about to head down a whole nother line of stuff here. Verse 5. Boaz begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. And we'll talk about Ruth for a minute. I've shared this in here before. But the lineage of Jesus takes some weird turns along the way. And I would suggest if you're sitting at home on a rainy day with nothing to do sometime, after you call Patricia, see if there's anything you can help her with, do this lineage search from Jesus. Man, you'll see some crazy stuff. Now, how many of you know you come from a crazy family? It's okay. They're not here watching you. Unless it's the one beside you you're talking about, but we know it's not. And these people had some problems. And this Boaz, this Rahab, and all this thing right here, what was interesting to me, and when you look at the life of Ruth, and we read this right here, we read the genealogy in Matthew. I want you to back up to Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. Oh, excuse me, verse 17. Let's start there. Now, this is the end of the book of Ruth. Also, the neighbor woman gave him a name saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Now, this, verse 18, is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David. Where did we just read that? In Matthew's account. This was thousands of years before this lineage comes. Now, the reason why it's interesting to read it in Ruth, it's real interesting to read it there, is because you understand, and I'll help you this morning, Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. And Naomi lost all of her sons and her husband, which meant, according to the law, she lost the lineage. She lost any, her life could never move forward without some help. And the way the Jewish law was set, the only way she could get help was if a family member, kinsman, a kinsman redeemer, it's called in Scripture, would show up and then take over the job of her husband or a son. The problem is Naomi and Ruth are fleeing a country because of a famine. And guess who shows up in this field? This man named Boaz, who was related to Naomi. You probably know the story. Who was related to Naomi, and he fell in love with Ruth, married her. Now, Naomi has a kinsman redeemer. This was an illustration of what Jesus was for us today, a kinsman redeemer. He's our kinsman redeemer. Why? You had no way to God. You and I had no way to God. We had no way of getting into the family except through the bloodline of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting thing about Ruth, in verse number 4 of chapter 1, we know that she is a Moabite. She is a Moabite woman. And I know I've mentioned this to the church in here before. I don't know if you ever heard it, but I'm going to walk you through it again because it's real interesting to me. These people are in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I just want you to think about where you came from for a moment. For anybody who says God can't use you, they're lying to you. Some people may have heard that from their own family. How crazy is that? It's okay. Let's go all the way back now to Genesis. And I'm getting somewhere with this. Just work with me. I want you to just see this family tree. Genesis 19, verse 35. Now stop right here. This is the story of the Lord destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? We know what Sodom and Gomorrah was like. Verse 35 is we've come to the place where Lot has left the town with his daughters, and his daughters get in their mind because they're crazy. These women were crazy. How many of you know some crazy people? You don't know nobody like this, I promise you. If you do, you better run fast. This is what these women did. They are fearful in their mind that God had destroyed all the men on the earth. I mean, there was no CNN, there was no television, there was no device in their pocket to tell them otherwise. God wiped the place out. They're walking across this mountain, and one of them says to the other, how are we going to have any kids? One of them has the bright idea and says, well, let's get Dad drunk. If this is your family tree, God help you. That's all I can say. So basically, they get their dad drunk, they sleep with him, and let's fast forward a couple of verses down to verse 36. Thus, both the daughters of Lot were with child by their own father. Verse 37, the firstborn son was called what? Moab. Next part, listen to what it says. He is the father of the what? Moabites to this day. Still around. Then the other child that was born was named Ammon, and he was the father of the Ammonites. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 4, Ruth was a Moabite. You hear what I'm saying? She was a Moabite that's in the lineage of Christ, and her family started with incest on the side of a mountain. You hear what I'm saying? I'm saying this in regards to what you've been through in your past. It don't matter how crazy it is. It doesn't matter what you've been through. You're not a victim of circumstance. God can redeem anything or anybody at any time. He has the same ability to work the miracle in your life today that he did thousands of years ago with this child, Jesus. Jesus' family tree, it's written in the book. You can study it. It takes time. You can break every one of those down and trace them all the way. And I'm telling you, more so than not, most of them look like this woman Ruth's story. It was a mess. How many of you come through some messes in your life? How many of you in a mess right now? Let me tell you something. God can take that mess and turn it around for you. I'm telling you that. God can change it for you. They get through this mess. And here's the core of what I want to speak to you about this morning. In verse number 30 of Genesis 19 is where the trouble started for Lot. It says that Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid. I'm going to talk to you about fear this morning. If there's one thing that will stop a miracle from coming into your life, it's because you're afraid. And yes, you will go through things that are crazy. You will go through things you don't understand. But when the enemy comes in with fear, if you live by fear and you allow that fear to rule you, you'll never get what God has for you. You'll never get it. God dealt with it three times when the birth of Christ. We'll look at it in a minute. But here's what I want you to understand about this situation. God only destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no record that he destroyed this town called Zoar. It wasn't destroyed, but he was afraid. He was afraid what God did there, he was going to do here. That's why he ran. If he would have stayed there, his daughters would have seen other men, amen? And that mess wouldn't have happened. But it's really cool to know that even in messes, God has the ability to redeem it and to change it. If you don't believe it, look in the mirror. God can change it. And listen to me this morning, church. Whatever you're going through today, God has the ability to fix it. God has the ability to change it. So we get through all this stuff, the lineage and looking through this stuff. And I want you to get to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus, this is the visitation to Joseph. We talked about the last two weeks, Zechariah, and then Mary, and now we get to Joseph. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. When God starts to position you for a miracle, you can get afraid. And I've seen it. I've experienced it in my life. Sometimes God will take you through chaos before you get to the miracle. If you don't believe me, read this story. Now, let me just say this. If we know God formed man out of the dirt and breathed into it, and it became a living being, he could have done that with Jesus, amen, if he so desired. But God chose to use people who were going to be willing vessels to play a part in this miracle. And God may be trying to use you and your circumstances so other people can see how his hand moves. Are you going to be a willing vessel? Let's think about this for a minute. After the men, how many men do I have in here this morning that are married? Okay. How many of you plan on staying that way? At least through today. Okay, good. Then you'll work. Now, if your wife were to come home to you this evening and tap you on the shoulder and say, honey, I got some news for you. Don't start packing your bags just yet. She says, honey, I'm pregnant. What would you say? Nobody say nothing. It's just fake, guys. Y'all don't have to really go there, okay? Hold on. But then she says this. Hold on just a minute. Yeah, and you ain't the daddy. Oh. I mean, we're going to read about, we're going to see this on the news. I know we would. Some of y'all, we'd see it on the news. Man goes nuts. Well, that's basically what Mary was saying to Joseph. Now, I know we present this Christmas story as this beautiful package of this holy silent night, but I bet it wasn't silent that night. And I bet it wasn't so holy at that moment. When God, and I'm telling you, I've seen this and experienced it with my own life, when God was fixing to take somebody and do a miracle in them in their life, the process getting there, man, looked like some seriously messed up stuff. That if you would have even told people, you can't tell that stuff. This woman had a tall order, and I want you to listen to the enormous, I mean, the what has to happen here. I want you to listen to verse 2. Now, we know in our minds that this was a virgin girl, but they weren't married yet. They weren't married. They were betrothed. And trust me on this one, unless you've studied it, you don't even understand what that really means. But listen to how verse 2 describes it. Excuse me, verse 19. Listen to what does he call Joseph here? Were they married? No, they were not. But what does he call him? Her husband. Let me tell you about this betrothal thing in the Jewish culture. Basically, it says this. We are husband and wife, except one thing hasn't happened yet. That would be our wedding night. That's what makes it totally official before God. But every action that I give to you for this whole year, I'm going to look like your husband. In public, I'm going to treat you like you're my wife. It was all a public display. Which that'd be cool if we kind of had that tradition in our stuff today, right? I mean, that's a whole nother class, but whatever. But so he has this whole year of public display. The Bible refers to him as the husband. And listen to what he says. Being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, he minded to put her away in secret. They weren't even married. What do you have to worry about? I'm going to tell you why. It was a big deal. And I asked the question again, why didn't Jesus just use some woman that wasn't even around a man? Well, let me ask you this question. Well, God could have done things a lot different in your life too if he so chose, but he took you on this path for a reason. Why? Because he knows the expected end for you. And if you won't be so afraid and don't let your attitude get out of control and whine and cry about it, God has a big plan for you. A miracle for your life if you can receive it. So he's looking back saying, okay, God gave you this baby. Okay. Okay. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, right. I mean, nobody I know could handle this. God gave you this baby. And so he was a just man. The Bible does say that. He was a just man, meaning he was a man who would have understood the scriptures, understood that he did not want to publicly humiliate her. So he says, quietly, I'm going to put you out of the way and let's just act like this thing never happened. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, families. Be careful if you're at this stage in a situation. God knows what he's doing. And God can do a miracle. And God can salvage it. You don't have to be done with somebody. Listen. And then the angel has to speak to him and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now my wife just told me she's pregnant with somebody else's baby. And you telling me not to be afraid. You might want to tell her not to be afraid. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. But he did he not? We learned that last week. The angel spoke to Mary first and said, do not be afraid, for that which has come upon you is from the Holy Spirit. So here we go. He says, do not be afraid. Listen, if there's one area, if I can take anything from this to help you this morning, if there's one thing the enemy wants you to do is be afraid when God starts to do something in your life. I'm not talking about being afraid. I'm talking about when things get crazy. Don't be afraid. Don't be shaken. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. God knows what he's doing. Listen, God did not give you the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God, I'm going to even pull it up. I want you to stamp this one on your forehead this week. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Spirit of fear does not come from God. And there are times when life will throw things at you that is very frightening. But that does not give us the luxury to walk in fear. And I would venture to say there are people going through things even right now. And I would tell you this, don't be afraid. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. One of the things you're going to have to do, though, is quit talking about it like you are. Amen? How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to work? How is this going to work? Listen, if you trust God, he's going to get you through it. He is going to get you through it. If there is a miracle you need to hear today, is that you can live without fear. And let me ask you this. How many of you on your own personal journey has God taken to the edge of the mountain? Like you're looking over and there's something chasing you. You got to trust him. This moment, and we will sing Silent Night and we will go through. This was not a moment of peace. This was not a moment of silence. This was a moment of what in the world are we going to do now? But the angel showed up. And if the Holy Spirit could whisper into your head today, he would say, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Listen to me. I love how he explains how he gets Joseph. Verse 20, it says, but while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Let me tell you why God appeared in a dream. Because sometimes God needs you to be quiet and get all the other noises out of your head so he can speak to you. Amen? Now, if old Joseph here would have walked down to the local Walmart and told all his little buddies about what happened at home, guess what people would have said to him? Here's you a gun. Go home and handle that or whatever. You know, they would have said, man, pack your bags. Get out. And let me tell you, if you tell people all your intimate secrets, they're going to give you their advice. And you're going to have to make a decision on this journey for yourself. Are we going to believe God no matter what? Are we going to believe God as bad as it gets? I can't listen to what everybody has to say. Because he could have gone to any counselor in Jerusalem or anywhere, and 99% of them would have said, I'd leave her. Let me tell you something. If you're a believer and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, you better be able to put your big boy pants on sometimes, and you better be able to pray, and you better be able to hear God for yourself. Because if all you can do is go on what somebody else tells you, I don't know if you're going to make it. Because sometimes people have real good advice, amen, and it's good advice, but it may not be what God wants. God will help you, but I'm going to say this to you first. You cannot walk this out and be afraid at the same time. How are we going to pay for this? How's it going to work out? What's going to happen if it? What, man, you will go nuts if you live like that. How many of you have tried that a few times? You know, we only try it here like on Thursday. You can make it. You don't have to live in fear. God knows what he's doing. The real question is this. Are you going to be a vessel that says, according to your word? Let it be according to your word. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary to be your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now listen to me. Joseph, we know, was a just man. And I believe when the angel said this to him, something struck inside of him. Why? Because he was a Jewish man that would have known the Messiah was coming. He would have known the Messiah was coming. And listen to what the angel said next. So all this was done that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Listen to me. That was the word of God at that time. That was the word of God. Now, what the angel said to him sounds a lot like what that said. Amen. Listen to me. If you're going through some stuff in your life, you better know the word of God. The word of God will take you, I'm telling you, it will take you through this. And God will speak to you. And listen to what God did. He confirmed his word in a dream. He confirmed his word to Joseph in a dream. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, verse 24, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Now, it's one thing to go to a certain point and be like, I hear what the Lord's saying. I know what the word says, but she's pregnant. She's pregnant. I ain't doing that. There will come a time in your life on this journey when you're waiting on a miracle and God's going to say, are you, I know you hear it and I know you understand it. Are you going to take the next step by faith to believe and do what I'm asking you to do? And he said yes. He said yes. He said yes. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. They were both afraid. I mean, let's just be honest. That was crazy. That was crazy. Some of the things you're going through are crazy right now. Listen to me. God knows right where you're at. And I believe he has a miracle for you. He did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, sound mind. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Those three people. It was three people that we've talked about 3 weeks. And Jesus hasn't even been born yet. The miracle of Christmas was not just in a barn on Christmas Eve. And I know you may be in a situation where you feel like you're at that last moment and God's got to show up right now and it's got to be fixed real quick. Let me tell you, God has you on a process. God has you on a process right now. And if you just will not be afraid, part of it is attitude. Watch what comes out of your... You don't have to say everything you think or feel. I mean, I go back to this story and think, man, could you imagine what Joseph was thinking in his head? Some of the same things we think, that's what. But the angel showed up for him, same way the Holy Spirit will show up for you and walk you through it. Walk you through it. Why? Because there's a miracle on the way. There's a miracle on the way. Think about what he said. He said, this miracle that's coming through you is going to save the world from their sins. What God sees is so much bigger. What God's trying to do through you is going to affect more than just you. It's going to affect people around you. It's going to affect your family. Remember when that stuff happened to Joseph? We talked about it. And he said, what the enemy meant for me was harm, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say yes this morning? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, as we continue to grapple with this story of what these people were going through, and Lord, I know it looks a lot like our own life at times when situations come and it almost looks like a hopeless place. But God, through one little whisper from the Holy Spirit to say, just hang on one more day. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. God, I believe each and every person in this room, you're taking them on a journey to receive that abundant life, that miracle moment. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen your people this morning. I pray that you would strengthen them, God, and remove that fear from lives to help us achieve that abundant life that you've called us to. Lord, I'm believing it today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, God bless you this morning, church. God bless you. Have a great day, a great week. We'll see you back soon. Amen. God bless you.